in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, North Dakota State fans, and welcome back to another edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. This is your Bison Football We Don't Need You edition. That's right, 100% Bison hoops after last night's big win. I'm only semi-serious on that because we got to hit a little Bison football right here in the news real quick. News section. Somewhat brief. Sam Griesel and Jared Samuelson both dressed. Neither played, but both guys were in uniform and went all the way through warmups. So I would guess there's maybe a shot you might see one of them against UND. But really starting to look into next week, that South Dakota State game and the Denver game as well, as an opportunity to see Sam or Jared play again real soon. You had six Bison named to the Phil Steele All-America, a lot of the, what you will, usual suspects. You've got, you know, the Trey Lance, your Dylan Radins, I believe, was on that team. And then an interesting one, Zach Johnson and Derek Tuska, but Jalen Sundell was named to the freshman All-America. I think Jalen played like 10 snaps, so I would guess for that freshman All-America team, Phil does a lot of talking to coaches and asks some kind of who some of their better freshmen are, because certainly wasn't a lot of Sundell film to go around. But you know what? Kudos to Phil Steele for doing a three-team freshman All-America, all five position on the offensive line. It'd be tough to find, I think, 15 freshman offensive linemen. So, like I said, kudos to Phil. That's quite the undertaking. And congratulations, of course, go out to Mr. Jalen Sundell. Matt Entz was named the AFCA Coach of the Year. I would say that's the second most prestigious honor that can be bestowed upon an FCS coach. Obviously, the Eddie Robinson Award would be the primary Coach of the Year title, Coach of the Year Award. And the other little thing that some of you might have been a little bit confused, especially if you saw our video, was Tyson Ward winning the game last night in number 30. Tyson, obviously having worn 24 his entire career, channeled his inner Luka Doncic and grabbed in the inside of his collar. You see football players rest their hands there a lot, but grabbed the inside of his collar and ripped in frustration, and actually ripped his jersey. So they went and got Spencer Eliason, who has been out of the program for 2 years, went and got his number 30 and threw it on Tyson. He finished the game and obviously literally finished the game with that layup. All right, let's dive into the South Dakota review. But before we do that, we need to bring on two-time North Dakota State men's basketball captain and lead analyst for men's hoops here at Bison Report, Mr. Nate Zastro. How are we doing, buddy?
We are doing good. Was a fun game to watch last night. Those are two really talented teams. Was good to get a win at home, and I'm glad that was a big shot by Tyson. What a great play drawn up by Richmond. Would have liked to have seen them hold the lead a little bit better. I think they got it up close to 10-ish around in the second half and just couldn't quite finish it out. But big play, big-time players. It was a big play by a senior and it was big to get a win at home.
It was, yeah. You know, these guys ended up, I think, ending, and we'll get into this in a second, but ending the half on a big, big run. And if there was anything disappointing about that performance last night, it was the I really think it was the way that NDSU didn't kind of step on the throat and sweep the leg there. Came out a little flat at halftime, but we'll get to that. Speaking of starting flat or being flat, a really slow start. Hadn't played in a while. Played Thursday night prior to the FCS championship game for football in Tulsa. A lot of you saw that Bison Report was there, and we were the only North Dakota State media at that event that wasn't calling the event. Jeff Culhane and I went up for that. Covered that game. A excellent performance by NDSU to get back in that game. I think Oral Roberts is one of the two or three most talented groups in the league. And eventually, you know, we're up three with a couple minutes to play and didn't score again. And just could not get the stops they needed at the end and could not get the buckets that they needed at the end either. Dropped a road game to a good team. I think you're going to see that happen potentially more often than not. With the top half of the league, even the best teams, you know, get closer to splitting on the road than they do sweeping on the road. North Dakota State, I believe, started this game though down 17-5 and started 0-8 from the field. Nate, what's it like when you're coming off of a, you know, kind of a 6-day layoff where that's not uncommon necessarily in the non-conference, but once you get into conference play, you're really more into that two games a week type of rhythm.
Yeah, it's a little bit tough. I know when I played, it was kind of the Thursday, Saturday type thing. And I know Coach Richmond mentioned in his press conference, it's going to be nice to get into a little bit of a rhythm where we're kind of going Wednesday, Saturday here for a while. 6 days off is a while. Sometimes it's good for some teams where they need a couple days of practice to get their butts kicked if they didn't play well. I think they let one slip away at Oral Roberts. Those slow starts can sometimes get you, and I don't think it was really a slow start for them offensively in that game. It was just that Oral Roberts was just ungodly from the field.
Made and everything.
South Dakota was kind of the same way. But with those good teams, it's tough to come back when you're not hitting shots to start or not. I'm not going to say they weren't ready to play, but those slow starts have kind of happened a few times now this year. I think being at home helped a little bit, but I think they spent a little too much energy coming back in that Oral Roberts game to where Oral Roberts had just as much depth and scoring as them and were able to pull it out at home. South Dakota, on the other hand, their guys were, they're dead. I mean, they barely even played their bench. They took one shot. So 6 days off. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Bison are a little banged up. It probably will help them in the long run having that 6-day break, but I think it'll be good to get into a rhythm with that Wednesday, Saturday where you have a good day of practice in between, then you got to shoot around and can kind of get in a little bit of a rhythm there.
Yeah, I just thought that they, you know, started, and then you've seen that, you know, you saw that against Kansas State, you saw that against Indiana State more accurately. You definitely saw it against Utah Valley. And as the season is starting to take shape, and you look at Stony Brook leading their league, I really look at Utah Valley as the only kind of bad loss on NDSU's schedule. You almost start to look at Kansas State with how poorly they're playing is. It's like, man, they really should have gone down there and won that game. But just absolutely couldn't throw it in the ocean, unfortunately. Just didn't shoot the ball well, but that's certainly a long time in the past. So what happens when I immediately, if you're following the Bison Report Twitter account, noticed that South Dakota was playing Amude at the 5, which is just not a great matchup for Rocky Cruiser. Rocky is a very, very good player. I think he's going to be, you know, if not this season, certainly next season, an all-league guy. But he just doesn't have the foot speed to stay in front of Stanley Amude. Not many players in this league do. Period. So Richmond goes small, and then NDSU finishes the first half on a 17-1 run to turn a 9-10 point deficit into a 7-point lead at halftime. Happen to have the replay on right now in the studio, and Vinny just hit that off balance three at the end of the shot clock. I think Richmond was trying to set up a 2-for-1 with a minute left, and that ends up not working out, but a big defensive stop at the end, specifically by Jackson Notek, our guy Jackson, instant offense Notek, and NDSU takes a 7-point lead into the half. What did you think the Bison did well on that 17-1 run to close out the first half?
You know, that was kind of unbelievable. Just that you look at that lineup and you're thinking, all right, Vinny can make create his own shot, but Quayle hasn't scored a lot this year. Notek's been on and off. I mean, he's going to provide offense when he's in there. Edie's kind of lets the game come to him. Harden Hayes is freshman getting stuff off kickouts. So you're thinking, where's the offense going to come from? We're already down 12. And then they just started getting stops after stop after stop when they really couldn't stop them at the start of the game. So I think it started at the defensive end. They're getting stops. I think the kind of the unsung hero that no one's really going to talk about last night is Chris Quayle. I thought he did an unreal job defensively. Kind of got lost on the bench here in the middle of non-conference play. I think it was mostly because he just wasn't shooting that great. So to see him hit a couple shots, he's always going to play hard on the defensive end and make some big plays. And Edie obviously played really, really well. I just love how he lets the game come to him, knocks down open shots. He'll take his man off the bounce if he has to. And then Harden Hayes played hard, got big rebounds. And Notek just does what he does. He's going to hit open shots at a high percentage. And Vinny's just Vinny. You just didn't – I can't say I expected that type of run against a team like USD who seemed to be rolling. I mean, it was 28-16 when that lineup went small. I think it was with 7:04 left. And they stayed in the rest of the half. And it was 41-34 at halftime with NDSU having the lead. So I think it just shows that we talk about it all the time. It shows the type of depth that NDSU has, that Coach Richmond isn't afraid with about any lineup that he throws in there. And Rocky and Cam didn't have great nights. They're going to be needed going forward. They're really key pieces. But I think, like Richmond said in the postgame press conference, it's 1 through 14, 14 to 1. Every kid's going to be looked on at some type of role, whether he's on the floor or off the floor. And I think this team just wants to win, and that, I think that shows.
Yeah, Cam had a – it's been a while. Cam had 11 against Western, you know, 13 against Northland, but that's Northland. It's been a minute since his big performance against ETSU. You wonder if when Jared comes back, if Cam might be headed back to the bench. Not necessarily, you know, that was anything that he did wrong. It's just you know, he's not feeling it right now. This is what he's done since ETSU. You've got 4 against Northridge, 2 against Montana State, 7 against Marquette, 2 at Denver, 11 at Western, 13 against Northland, and then 7 at ORU with another bagel, USD. It's just not working for Cam Hunter right now. And, you know, 1 for 6 at Oral Roberts, 0 for 4 at 1 for 8 at Oral Roberts, 0 for 5 against South Dakota. Maybe he just needs a reset. And you know, sometimes shooters do need that. And if Cam Hunter is anything, it is a shooter. And I think he's going to play a key role. As frankly, you know what? That kid's played a key role his entire time at North Dakota State. And he's made big buckets and big moments. And he'll do it again. He'll do it again this year. It's just that right now, things aren't exactly cooking for him. I'll tell you who was cooking. Sweet Jesus, was Stanley Amude cooking. I was down at Oral Roberts, saw Kevin O'Banner, saw Emmanuel Nzekwesi, obviously get to watch Vinny Shahid and Tyson Ward every night. You know, I'm not super familiar with the JUCO kid at South Dakota State, but is Stanley Amude the best player in the Summit? Because I really get that feeling.
Yeah, he for sure is, and that's no disrespect to anyone in NDSU. I'll still take Vinny and Tyson and those guys in a battle any day. But as far as talent, athleticism, overall player, I think he is the best player in the Summit League. You see why he was preseason player of the year, even though they weren't picked to win the conference. He hit some tough shots last night. I mean, he can shoot it from 3. He can take you off the bounce. He can post you up. And when he's at the 5, like you talked about earlier, it's just a bad matchup for Rocky. And the thing is, Rocky's a matchup nightmare for other bigs in our league because he stretches the floor, but he's just not ready to guard a kid like that, which is why the small lineup did end up working a little bit. He did take his fair share of shots. I think you'll live with, I think it was 20 some shots, and he got his 23 on 20 shots. I think you'll take that. You don't want their best player to get 20 shots in a game. So I think we could have done a little bit better job defensively, but like you said, good players are going to find ways to get theirs. And he's too talented of a player to not get his 20 shots up, which kind of makes you wonder where that type of player has been. I know he's still averaging 17 a game, but there's games where he kind of disappears, and that's when USD was struggling. I mean, they lost four straight games end of December, early January, two of the teams in the Summit League that if the USD team that played last night played in those games, they're 20-point blowouts. So I think that team just needs to find some consistency, and obviously they need some bench depth. So I don't know if it was a factor last night. You can definitely look at the stats and think it's a factor. I mean, they had zero bench points and they took one shot from their bench. I mean, that's just, it's unheard of at any level. And I think that's going to play a factor going forward, because once you get into the grind of Summit League play, which they're in right now, I mean, they pretty much have a must win now on Sunday against South Dakota State, or they can kind of kiss the regular season, any chance of a regular season title, goodbye.
Yeah, you could, in my opinion, you could really feel that desperation both against Oral Roberts and against South Dakota. Both teams came out absolutely flame throwing. You know, both teams at points in the first half were scoring up in the 66-70% from the field range. I mean, just absolutely making stuff. I think I made some joke about Cody Kelly, but I mean, the kid legit banked in a short corner three, and it was the same hand. It was a right corner three with the right hand, and he banked in. I mean, if you sat in that corner, how many times do you think, how many attempts do you think it would take you to bank in a right corner three?
That was like one of those trick shot where guys can only make it if they like practice that shot a million times. But if you gave me 10 tries at that, I'll maybe get close on the ninth or 10th, but that angle was just unbelievable. I did not, that almost hit the top of the back.
Truly impossible. Anyway, yeah, I was ready to throw my hands up for that one. That was absolutely wild. But as we mentioned, North Dakota State starts out the second half super flat. It doesn't take very long at all before that 7-point lead is pretty much gone. And then, you know, it was a battle. It was a battle throughout. They were joking about media timeouts, man. There were no whistles. I think the under 16 and the under 12 happened within 45 seconds of each other, because they were just letting them play, and it was good, clean, fun basketball. And at the end, you know, USD had a foul to give. In fact, NDSU had like three fouls to give had they ever, you know, been in that situation with the clock. So just a clean game. They let them play, very few fouls called, and North Dakota State ends up having to go small again. And it kind of backfired for a little bit, because Hagedorn kept going down to the left block and shooting right-handed hooks over his left shoulder. But the Bison just stuck with it, went with that smaller lineup, and they just that was the way to match up with this group. And I think that's the versatility that you saw with North Dakota State, where there is no versatility with South Dakota. And I obviously hope that, you know, teams always stay healthy, never ever cheer for an injury or hope that anything happens to any of these kids. But boy, if something happens to one of those five USD starters, it could get real ugly in Vroom.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, everyone's averaging over 30 minutes a game except Hagedorn, who's their leading scorer. And I guarantee if the game's close and they need to win, he's going to play over 30 minutes. So you got to think, I don't know if it's a trust issue, a talent issue, but you can't ride five guys over 30 minutes a game for a whole season. It's just going to be tough to keep up. I don't care how talented they are. Lawrence Alexander's, I mean, I think he played 37, 38 minutes a game, and he seemed to not wear down, but to expect that from all five starters, it's going to be tough for them. But they are super talented. They can probably get away with being in the top half of the league based on just how talented those five are. But at some point, when you're trying to make a Summit League run, I mean, three games in 3 days, how are five guys supposed to play that much to try to win a Summit championship? It's going to be tough for them.
Yeah, it really is. And like I said, I felt as though Oral Roberts and USD, because of their talent levels, were just super motivated, in my opinion, and were really desperate not to, you know, fall to, well, South Dakota, you know, South Dakota did fall to 2-3, but ORU, you know, they could have been 0-3 in the league. Now they're all of a sudden 3-2. So a quick turnaround for Oral Roberts, getting themselves right back in the mix. You've got Omaha and North Dakota State, both a game behind South Dakota State, because South Dakota State hasn't had any buys. They're 5-1 are the Jacks, though. Keep this under your hats, folks, but they might be getting some really awful injury news. We'll find out what happens, but South Dakota might be, or South Dakota State might be in a little trouble. Anyway, let's fast forward a little bit to the end sequence, if you will, where Cam Hunter, who, you know, you just have to take your hat off to the kid as far as being a team guy, because he takes a charge in a game where he just cannot buy one, and to go down and move his feet like that, get set and take the big charge at the end to make sure that USD does not get a chance to take the lead in the game. I thought that was big time.
Yeah, Cam made a really good play, and you're right. I mean, ever since, I think mostly since he's entered the lineup, he hasn't played the greatest, or like he was when he was coming off the bench. So maybe that, like you said, that reset for him will be good. But to be able to step in and take a charge like he did last night, he was there, and I think, I don't know if he got hit square, but the ref's going to reward a player who's standing right there, and Kelly was under no control there. So I'm glad that the ref gave him the benefit of the doubt for being there defensively, but just a big time play from him to keep NDSU alive and give him a shot to win. Those are winning plays, and plays that you're not going to see in the box score, but those type of plays win games.
Yeah, they absolutely do. Richmond, I think, was under fire from the fan base a little bit, as he always is. But he was under fire from the fan base a little bit for the way that Oral Roberts game ended. Didn't take and said after the game, you know, he's not a big timeout guy. He believes in his team's ability to execute. Feels like he can call plays from the bench just as easy as he can draw them up. And that, you know, he just has a tremendous amount of trust in his players to go get a bucket. But this time around, that was not the case. He took the timeout with, I think, 7 seconds left. And then I believe USD took a foul and took another timeout. And both Ward and Richmond were very blunt about wanting to keep that play call in-house. And so weren't going to tell the assembled media there what play that was, or, you know, what that was called. But kind of describe what you saw there on the fake handoff and roll there from Tyson Ward to win the game.
First of all, I gotta say, those fans that want the timeout call, they're probably the same ones that said to Saul Phillips to call timeout when Ben Woodside hit the shot to go to the tournament after Benson dunked that one to tie. I don't believe in calling a timeout. You don't want the defense to get set, and they're never going to be more out of position than you kind of coming at them up the floor. So that's just kind of my take as being a player and coach on that one. Sometimes when things get bottled down, then yeah, call a timeout and get reset. As far as,
well, and it's the old, it's revisionist history. It's, well, they lost the game, so the calling a timeout would have fixed it. Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't agree with, I mean, you can come down and the defense is already on their heels. The pressure is already on them. And if you get to give them a chance, I mean, they're reset and in their help side, all that stuff off a set play. And yeah, maybe you're going to be a little more organized, but it's a lot harder to score on a set defense, I'll tell you that. As far as last night, I thought it was a great play call. Obviously, Tyson was kind of reading the handoff, and it's crazy. Those handoffs, if you fake it half the time or more than most of the time, those guys are going to jump out at the guy coming off a handoff, especially a guy like Vinny. And it worked out for Tyson. They got it on the perfect side of the floor because Tyson could fake it and get to his dominant hand, left hand. It's crazy how teams try to take away his left hand, and he still finds a way to get to it. whether he's driving right, spinning back to his left. And when they do take away his left and he's kind of caught, he's been a great passer during this run here. Just a great, great last second play. You knew something was going to at least be decoyed to Vinny, trying to get the ball in his hands. 4 seconds, you can't really pass it into him and get set up for a ball screen. So I'm glad they had that little quick hitter there with probably a little false action on the backside to keep the help side away, because the help side was quite late as he got an end one on it.
Yeah, there was a couple of times where Amude sent Vinny's shots into about the 17th row, and he was hopping out on that screen ready to send Vinny's game winner into the scorer's table. But unfortunately, he forgot he was supposed to be guarding Tyson Ward. As we mentioned, USD bench 0 for 1 from the field, 0 points. That's just incredible. You really get to see the program that Richmond has built, I think, when you see something like that. And then you understand that, you know, Jared Samuelson, a guy who started 34 games last year and started 9 games this year, isn't available. And Sam Griesel, who, you know, was an every game starter last year as well, started against Duke, for gosh sakes, not available. You've got two guys that are 30 minute a game guys that can't go for you, and you're still 9 deep, and 9 deep, you know, against a team that's basically 5 deep, and it won them a game. It absolutely 100% won them the game, because, as we said, they did not have the best player on the floor last night, not from a talent perspective and not, frankly, from who played the best. Amude had 23-9. I mean, he was dominant. 23-9, he probably had 4 blocks too. I'm not staring at the box score, but I would guess it looks something like that. And NDSU's depth won them the game, moved them to 12-6 and 3-1, and that's where they are, man. It's an impressive start for North Dakota State in the league, because, you know, all of a sudden Oral Roberts right there, 4th in the league. You know, your only big loss, basically, or your only conference loss, is a road loss by a possession or two to a top half of the league team. You have to feel pretty good about that. You got to feel pretty good about the career high from Tyree Edey, as you mentioned, a guy that just kind of lets the game come to him, was hot from outside, was able to take his man off the dribble. I don't know if, you know, Tyree, who is a sophomore, I don't know if Tyree will ever be the best player on the team or a guy that you just hand it to him and he'll go get you a bucket. But boy, that kid, when he's a senior, if he's the second or third option, specifically if he's the third option and he's kind of playing that tertiary spot up role and being sort of the Mike Nelson to your Woodside and Winkleman, you're going to feel so awesome about that. Tyree is just so efficient and has continued to, I think, display that efficiency over and over again during his, you know, young, it just kind of started NDSU career. And then Vinny Shahid with 21 points. He was cramping up all night. Richmond just said, I have to mention Vinny because I've been so impressed with him. Kid banged one in from about the logo in the second half. Just an excellent performance from the North Dakota State point guard and captain. All right, on to UND. And Nate, we don't like UND. How many times did you get a chance to play the University of North Dakota?
I think we played them 2 years, my sophomore and junior year. Actually, we played them all my last 3 years. We pounded them my sophomore year, and then we lost to them up in Grand Forks my junior year, and then we ended up beating them my senior year. But they weren't in the conference. They were still Big Sky. They tried to really hype up the rivalry my sophomore year. I think that was the first game in years, and they just were – I think they might have been still in the transition stage to Division One, but they've come a long way. Obviously, they have an NCAA tournament appearance. They'll have a new coach who was at Northern State, where actually my coach was, Saul Phillips. Crazy how that kind of all comes around, but he's a good coach. He's going to get his guys to play the right way. Coaching at Minot State that 1 year, I mean, Northern State had a bunch of dudes that just moved the ball and play together. And it looks like they're that type of team. They got 4 guys averaging in double figures. So they got some good balance. They're scoring the ball. They struggle a bit defensively, but with a new coach, it takes some time digging into his philosophy. to go forward with the program. So I think it's going to take them some time defensively, but they obviously have some guys who can score the ball, which makes them dangerous in any situation.
Yeah, and shout to Saul at 12-4 down in Northern. He's got those boys hooping at Northern State, 12-4 and 8-2 in the NSIC. You got to feel pretty darn good about that. Yeah, North Dakota right now, 8-11, 2-3 in the conference, and 3-9 on the road. All of that pointing to North Dakota State being, you know, a pretty heavy favorite, I would guess, on Saturday. But you had the biggest win, I think, in school history on December 21st against Nebraska. Certainly that is a Nebraska team that's struggling, a Nebraska team that Fred Hoiberg is kind of trying to retool after they let go of Tim Miles. But anytime I think you get a Big Ten win, that's impressive for your program.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough wherever you play. I mean, we can say the same thing about Kansas State. Now, I think Kansas State would beat Nebraska and is better than them. But Nebraska's had a couple decent games here recently in the Big Ten. They're at least being a little more competitive. I'm sure Hoiberg will have that thing JUCO'd up here in the next few years with grad transfers of junior college kids like he did at Iowa State. It will not surprise me one bit if he does that. But anytime you can beat a high major, I don't care who you're playing and how bad they are, it's never easy to win a guarantee. I guarantee you that was $100,000, $80,000 to $100,000 game for them, unless it was part of a tournament. So anytime you can do that with a first-year coach, it definitely helps the confidence of the team, and you know that that'll help that program going forward as far as recruiting goes. Recruits aren't going to look and know that Nebraska was that bad this year. And they're a Big Ten team, so you can use that with your recruiting pitches to kids, and it definitely helps their program.
Absolutely. They opened their conference season by losing a close game to Omaha, or not necessarily open the conference season, but the last little bit here. They lost a close game to Omaha, and then they've been blown out twice since. They got blown out by, I think, Oral Roberts, and then got blown out by South Dakota State, just recently lost by 20. It was kind of a rough one right now. Marlon Stewart is the name to know. He is a Creighton transfer, I believe, now in his third year with UND's program. I think he's leading the Summit League in assists. He's a good little point guard, but gave the Jacks 17 last night. Certainly capable of scoring the ball. He's going to be, though, the straw that stirs the drink. As far as other guys on the team, you might remember Deshaun Allen Eikens. Nate, you mentioned him as somebody that was part of the recruiting process at North Dakota State, or at least somebody that everyone was aware of. Kid was a Williston guy that made varsity out in Williston as an eighth grader, and kind of his legend grew as a athlete that was potentially going to be, you know, high major and was not going to make it to a program like UND. I believe that honestly he's a transfer in. I don't think he even started his career at North Dakota. I think he got there in sort of a roundabout way, but he is currently starting for them is Deshaun Allen Eikens. He is a redshirt freshman and played his final 2 years at Aspire Academy. Anyway, he's got kind of an interesting story, but he's a 6'6 guard from technically Williston, North Dakota, that was at one point a pretty highly thought of recruit. And then Dickinson's Onen Moody. Most folks will remember him. He was Mr. Basketball in the state of North Dakota. Got all sorts of buckets on Jordan Meininger's team out there with Dickinson. And he has been battling an injury and not playing. Because of that, they're kind of a poor man's USD. For example, the starters played 38, 34, 33, 29, and 30 minutes against South Dakota State, where they lost by 20 in kind of a non-competitive type of game. But even at that rate, where it looked like it was kind of going to get away from them, they still, you know, were not able to get the bench heavily involved because at this point they're just, frankly, a little bit thin. Bison fans will not miss Connor Avance, who was kind of built a little bit like Dexter Werner and got in plenty of scuffles, if you will, with Big Dex over his UND career. He is no longer there. Nate, what do you feel like a couple of the keys to this game are if North Dakota State's going to come out with a victory and move to 4-1 in conference play?
you know, I don't think that it's thought of as, I mean, maybe the older people think it's more of a rivalry with UND. Hopefully that rivalry comes back to what it used to be. But it is a big game and it is a rivalry game. And I think coming off to a quick start, I know Coach Richmond being a North Dakota guy, he's going to talk about how prideful we need to be coming into this game. Marlon Stewart is a guy who can fill it up. If you let him go off, they're going to be in the game. I mean, he's averaging 17 a game. He's going to get his shots up. I think he's shooting well over 10 shots a game, shooting 38.5% from the three. He shoots about 8 free throws a game, I think. It's a big amount, so we got to keep him under control. Obviously, they have some other guys that can score it, but they're struggling defensively. I think about 45% of their shots are from three as a team. So they're gonna get them up there. We got to make sure we rebound and just keep playing with confidence. We got to protect our home court. I think we might have talked about this previously. I mean, win your home games and go over 500 on the road, and you're 13-3 in the conference. So we got to protect our home court. And UND is gonna be motivated too. I mean, they want to beat their rival from just south of them, and it'll be a big game. Hopefully we can get a big crowd and get these fans going. I mean, this top half of the conference is as talented as it's been, and we need to use it as a home court advantage, and hopefully they can get there.
Yeah, last season I think was the first time in 3 years that Richmond had beaten UND at home. I think both in 17-18 and in 16-17. The two schools had split, but with North Dakota taking both games in Fargo, and just was not a situation they wanted to be in, losing to UND on their home floor. They want to go up to Grand Forks and get a win. And I mean, I tell you, these coaches, these guys that have been around the program, and maybe it's a little bit different, you know, that Paul Sather's the coach and it's not Brian Jones, and there isn't kind of that maybe animosity a little bit, or just having met so many times and been on the recruiting trail and things like that. But it's important. It is important to these guys. I know that, you know, we've talked about the football rivalry not being what it was. The basketball rivalry is pretty close, because what does UND football need to do to re-energize the rivalry? They need to take something from NDSU. Well, UND has taken stuff from NDSU. They've won games in this series. They beat NDSU the first two times they ever played at the Shack, and it's a big game on Saturday. Certainly, anytime UND comes to town for anything, it should be considered a big game, because they're in everything now. The rivalry, it maybe isn't what it used to be, but it's going to be at some point, because they're Valley opponents. They are Summit League opponents. Anything that you can play UND in, they play UND in. It's back to that status. And so I'll just echo what Nate said. You know, I feel like I've been banging on this drum for 10 years, but it's just too nice of a facility. I know the seats are further away from the court than you'd like, but they used to pack the BSA to the rafters, and that was the most uncomfortable arena in America. And the facility is just too nice. There's beer and wine now if you need that to get through. But this is as far as the loss column is concerned, this is a first place basketball team. They're picked first in the league. They are performing at that level. And it's a Saturday with nothing else going on. And I know there might be some nasty weather coming. And if that's the case, then, you know, we'll let it slide. But if you are able, please, please get to the Shack. If you got tickets and you can't use them, get somewhere else. I go back and look at the replay of that Tyson Ward game winner, and I just see too many empty seats in the background for the defending Summit League champs, the first place Summit League team, and they deserve a little bit more support, especially now that football's over. All right, I'm off my pedestal. I'm off my high horse. Nate, thanks for your time tonight, buddy. I really appreciate it. Guys, there's one big time way, two ways really, that you can support this show. The big time one is, of course, to become a Bison Report VIP member, and we have fantastic news about that, guys. It's absolutely nuts. tonight at, well, actually yesterday, because you guys are listening to this in the morning. So this morning at midnight, 60% off of a VIP subscription, an annual VIP subscription. Absolute pennies on the dollar. Not going to do a promotion. I promise we're not going to do a promotion any better than this between now and when football starts. We did one, obviously, when I just took over the site at 75% off, but we will not get back up to 60% off again. It's going to be just a tremendous value for you guys to get, obviously, all of the rest of basketball season and all of next football season, which is going to include recruiting season. It's going to include all my film breakdowns, all the stuff from Trevor. It's just a no-brainer. If you haven't done the VIP thing yet, head over to the Bison Report and check that out. The other thing you can do is, you know what, tell your buddies about us. Tell your Bison friend, Bison fan friends about us. The show is free. It's going to be free forever. It's just all we want is for more people to listen and more people to enjoy what we're doing from a content perspective. Guys, if it's not, you know, a Category 12 blizzard, get to the shack. Go Bison.